St. Paul, in that letter to the church in Colossae, draws attention to a different way of living, to realign the way that they were living their lives. He says, set your minds on things that are above. And then Jesus, in that gospel account there from Luke, again, steering us towards a different way of looking at how we live our lives and what is important, what priorities we actually have. In his book, Authentic Success, the British psychologist, Dr. Robert Holden, talks about destination addiction. And by that, he means that constant belief that things will be better if we just have a little bit more. If we just have something else, things will be better for us. Destination addiction. He says this about it. Destination addiction is a preoccupation with the next idea that happiness is to be found in the next place, the next job, the next possession. Human beings have a very strong kind of instinct to hoard, to collect, to gather together. Most fellas' garages will pay tribute to that thought. Some, though, in that collection of items are better organised. For example, if you looked into my garage, you would say, yes, Dave, that sentiment bears true. And look how you manage it. And if you look into this gentleman's garage, Mike's there, and look at it, the same bears true, but oh my goodness, how well ordered. Now well organised. Somebody said to me the other day, Dave, are you a hoarder then? And I paused for a moment and said, no, I'm not a hoarder. I'm a curator of treasure. Right. I like hanging on to things just in case they might come in useful. Yeah? And I think that that's something to do with my grandparents and certainly my parents inciting that into me. So, yeah, even little odd bits of string and things are hanging on a hook, just in case, you know. But the marketing industry exists to persuade you and me that we are not and we should not be satisfied with what we've got. That's why they're there, in order to persuade that within us, and it sows seeds of doubt, doesn't it, into our minds about our security and about our happiness and about what we rely upon. The narrative is one that enforces the belief that our possessions express who we are, what we are, and the thought of losing those creates a sense of unease over what life might be like without them. And yet for hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians at the moment, that's their experience, isn't it? That they've lost it. They've lost everything. And I wonder how many of you, like me, have been watching that and thinking, how would I manage like that? How would I feel? And got me again to questioning, well, where's my priority in my life? What is really important, what is needed? Because the disease of affluenza is a contagious one. If we're not careful, it can really take us over. And our gospel reading begins with this man asking of Jesus, says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And at first you think that's a request just for fairness. And you think, yeah, okay. But no, actually, behind that, there is enormous greed. And the Jewish law, to explain that, the Jewish law said that the eldest son inherited twice as much as the youngest. not so that they could then go off and have a reckless life. No, they got twice as much because they had twice as many responsibilities that were going to follow. They were going to be responsible for looking after all the family, their siblings, the family estate, the home, the business. That's why they got it. So I think Jesus is seeing into here and he's saying, well, here's somebody who wants twice as much but not prepared to do the work for it. Greed affects our judgment. Jesus is calling us to realign the principles by which we live our lives. A hunger for God. A hunger for God that surpasses anything else. Theirs should be our priority. If you look at that gospel reading, just look how many times the word I or my appears. We need to recalibrate our approach to the way we live. That doesn't mean that we suddenly walk around in her shirts. No, the Lord wants us to enjoy our lives. And we can enjoy the finer things in life. Nice clothing, a lovely place to live. Good food, drink, of course. We can do that. It's a question, though, of, as I said earlier, where do our priorities lie? What's the most important thing to us? Over money, I've always liked the statement that John Wesley gave. He just simply said, earn more. So far, so good. Save more so that you can give more. That's the Christian lifestyle, isn't it? That we need to be giving and sharing that love of God with others around us. Jesus actually says, doesn't he? He says, be rich, basically. Be rich towards God. Well, what does that mean, I wonder? I wonder what that means to you about being rich towards God. For me, it's about living our lives as God would want us to. Balanced. Selflessly. With a heart of love and justice and consideration for those around us. Lives that make a difference in our families and for our families, in our workplaces, in our communities that we live. To invest in affecting change. For the better. Being rich towards God. Possessing things that last forever is the goal. And the one thing that you and I can possess, the one thing that you and I can have that no one can take away from us, no thing can take away from us, is a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's treasure, isn't it? That's treasure. And the other thought is this, struck me this morning. That is the only thing that we can carry from this life into the next. There's nothing else, is there, that we can carry from this life to the next? There's a Spanish proverb that says, a shroud has no pockets. I like that. The only thing we can carry forward is that right relationship with God, that treasure. Store that up. Be hungry for God. And we have it or we don't. It's a choice that we respond to. But that's the treasure. The real treasure that we can have in our lives. And at the moment, we are living, aren't we, through times and circumstances, locally, nationally, globally, that feels so much more precarious and fragile than they have done for years. Perhaps in our lifetimes. But here's my experience of that so far, and I know that I'm not on my own when I say this. That very reality that we are living in right now is creating more and more opportunities for us to share the treasure we have that is in Jesus Christ. Of what we know of him, of his love, of his desire for our lives. More and more people are seemingly prepared to be entering into conversations that ask, what is this all about? Where's the hope for the future in all of this? And it creates such wonderful opportunity for us to say, what we know, what we have, that treasure in us to share with others, that treasure in heaven, that richness of God. Just this week, in fact, just the other night, I was chatting with a good friend of mine about this very thing and about how important it is for us that we share that love of God that there is in Christ Jesus with those around us. That treasure is the one that matters. Hungry for God. Those of you who have already looked at your newsletters, thank you. But on the front page there, there's a quote, isn't there? There's a verse there that I put there this time from Peter's first letter about that call for us to enter into that, to always be prepared to share what we know of our relationship with Jesus. He writes, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But always do it with gentleness and respect. It's not a smacking someone around the head with it. It's a sharing with love and respect and gentleness. Isn't it lovely when people come up to you and say, I don't know what you've got, but I quite fancy a bit of it. What are you on? That's the moment where you send a quick prayer up to the Holy Spirit. It's one word usually. Help. And use that opportunity. I'll tell you. Yeah, things can be difficult, things can be challenging, but the hope I have in God through Christ Jesus has made a difference in my life. And it can make a difference in yours as well. And then usually from the expression on their face, you know if you're invited to go any further. But, you know, just saying that, it's what we're called to do, because you don't know how many other people have said the same thing to them or will later. And it's a building up, isn't it? As a church in this place, as a church in the places that as visitors that you have come from, everything we do should be focused on selflessly creating opportunities for others to encounter God through Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That hunger for more of God. How about this as a prayer then in the coming days, that you might ask the Lord to reveal to you who it is he's putting on your heart to pray for, to invite, to share something with. To share that treasure, to make a difference. So a moment just to ponder on those things. Father God, we thank you for the gift of the greatest treasure we could have, a restored relationship with you through faith in our Saviour, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may we hunger more for that treasure, to know more of you and to share that with others for your kingdom and for your glory. Amen.